I thought I just couldn't see. I thought I like lost all vision and just couldn't see anything. I thought it was like it was on, I just couldn't see.
That's the more likely scenario, to be honest.
Really?
I'm flying out after buying it.
I guess if you do glasses,
you're gonna miss the lighting. It's like the
you can see something,
and here's something crazy.
How long is my turn?
Just ask them to repeat it first.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, new sugya. The new sugya takes us away from the sugya of Hezekiah and Shutfus, and gives us a break for a little while to discuss Halacha paying back loans. Halachas of Ne'emanus with respect to paying back loans. So if we look at this, the sugya in the larger picture, from Heymed Aleph to Lomed Aleph, how would you, what's the tagline that you'd give to the sugya? What's the byline you'd give to the sugya? Go ahead, Simon.
Whether or not, like, the Rish Lakish and Rav and Abai as to whether or not we would accept the Migo in the place of a Chazar.
Okay, who thinks that is not broad enough? Prime?
I don't think that's broad enough.
Okay, go ahead.
Something better, but
it's not the exact Machlokas
thing. Just because it's true that
if we believe someone that they pay in advance of a loan, or do we say that they only pay when it's like the last final?
Okay,
that's more specific.
The nature of people paying back loans.
Very broad.
Very broad.
No, when you say what's the, if you had to categorize the sugya, so the sugya, it's correct that the major focus of the sugya is on the chazaka. Do people pay back? Why? And obviously, what do we care? We're not doing sociology. We're not doing the sociology course in Sci Sims. So, do we care whether people pay back or don't pay back? We want to know whether a person has no.
I guess I'd say you want to understand the basis of chazaka, and we analyze that from the perspective of
which chazaka you're talking about.
So different types of chazaka, but in this circumstance, probably a chazaka about human nature, an assumption about human nature.
So what do you call a chazaka about human nature?
Rove,
probably. L'chaim it's a rove. Okay, so let's just give a background to the sugya for the moment. Again, first, what is the title of the sugya? Chazaka. What do we care whether a person, whether people pay back or don't pay back the loans? What do we care about what roid people do? Like if you're planning, if you're a financial planner, so you got to know when you're going to get money back. Got it? Okay, but you're not a financial planner. So you're learning the sugya. So why does a Beis Din care? No.
No, someone has
Nemonis. So we're looking at how human nature is going to be taken into account when we're trying to figure out a person's Nemonis. I have a loan out, and a person is saying he paid out. He doesn't want to pay back. Adin Torah, Dayanim. So you're in front of Beis Din. So how does Beis Din evaluate the probabilities of a person having paid back and determining whether the determination of the strength of the probability will determine where the dayanim go with this? Do the dayanim say, who on whom rests the burden of proof? So again, since a sugya of either you call it a sugya of ne'amonus or a sugya of toyin v'nitan, of litigation. Rambam has a section called toyin v'nitan, letting the rules of litigation. So either it's rules of litigation or it's degrees of ne'amonus, but all coming back to one specific aspect of human nature, and that is that people pay back loans before they are due. All right. Now, why does human nature become a factor? What happened to shtoros and edim? All the classic indications that the Beis Din uses. So we don't have shtoros right now. We don't have edim. Obviously, if we had a shtar kabbalah, if we had a shtar that somebody says gavalti, we're done. If we have two edim that he paid, we're done. We don't have shtoros of edim. Right, so now all we have is hamoitzi mechaveri olam haraya. Right, somebody brings me into Beis Din and says, you owe me money for the wall that we built, and I said I paid, so now I'm the muchzuk on my money, he's the moitzi. So Pashabi would say, no, so bring rayas, no rayas, the money stays where it is. So our Gemara is being mechadish to us that sometimes we will take into account the level of nemonus, right? The level of believability, the level of integrity, it's the word integrity, of a person's taina. Okay, so now the Gemara is saying we're going to evaluate a person's nemonus based on a chazaka, human nature. So Shai said that's not a chazaka, that's a roiv. We call that a roiv. So we have in front of you a section of the pre-Megadim's Psicha Kailelis. The pre-Megadim is probably was bishop for probably for 100 years was the Poisek Achron and Orachayim, the Sefer for not Orachayim, a year a day as well. In other words, it was Poskim would very, very rarely come to a decision on a hachra without learning the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim is what we call a supra commentary. Prima Gadim is a commentary on the Magen Avraham and on the Taz, and in Arachayim and the Shachan Taz in Yerideh. So I'm always fascinated by the Prima Gadim, because if you see the Prima Gadim, the personality. Because he made a comment almost in every single Magen, every single Taz. He could have easily written a whole new Sefer called the Prima Gadim. He could have easily written a Mishneh Berurah, a Chayot, an Aruch HaShulchan. But he decided he's going to be makdin himself. And he's going to write a Ha'oros on the Magen Avraham and on the Taz and the Shach and the Taz. And via the Magen Avraham and the Shach and the Taz, he shows his absolute shlita of Shas and Rishonim. So just that idea that you find very rarely that a person would present himself that way, and probably, as I don't know because I'm not well versed enough, but probably he may be responsible for the centuries where the Magen Avraham, the century of the Magen Avraham was much learned in the first part in the 20th century. So it was very common to have Magen Avraham Shurim. Nowadays you may have Shurim in Mishneh Berurah, but then Magen Avraham Shurim to figure out the Magen Avraham, and they were considered with great depth. There were times in the Shulchan Aruch was published only with the Magen Avraham. The Behetev is a summary of the Magen Avraham and the Taz, and the Shach and the Taz in Yerideh. So the Prima Gadim, in addition to writing, and unfortunately, the reason why I think he has become less popular is because till very, very recently, he was very hard to learn because he was published in very small print at the back. So he's a very dense sefer, very dense both just physically in reading it and in the amount of information and ideas he packs into a line. So dense svarim fell out of favor in the last 40, 50 years. So he's not, again, those who learn Yerideh seriously will learn the Prima Gadim top to bottom. There's a famous story of a Moshe Feinstein who was once in a chasana. This was like many, many, when he was less known in even in the American scene, and he's at a chasana, and somebody, a young man, comes up to him and asks him a shayla. And Rav Moshe must have sensed that he was more asking to challenge rather than asking levakesh. So the young man asks a shayla, and Rav Moshe answers, and Rav Moshe turns to the person next to him. He says, imagine that man thought he could chop me in a befer Prima Gadim. So Prima Gadim was the sefer that people would not get smicha without learning the entire Prima Gadim on the areas of Tarevus and Bosom Chalot. But again, because of the density and the difficulty. Now recently, in the last 20 years, so somebody reset the Prima Gadim and published it in big letters. and I'm sure brought back some revival. So the Prima got him at the beginning of his Sefer and Arachayim as a Psicho Kelelis. He has a broad introduction. And it's really an introduction to Teresh Baal Peh. And it's a very striking work, as we'll see in a moment. So in Psicho, in Chelek, the fifth essay of the Psicho Kelelis, he says, if I get the right spot. Towards the end of the fifth chelek. Yeah. Nimtza kama mine chazakos. I've heard this many times from Rav Shechter. You often will open up a sugya of chazakos with this panorama. That the phrase chazaka, the word chazaka, is used in many different ways, as you already know, in Shas. And the different ways that they're used are really very, very different. And to the extent that one not only has to be careful about comparing chazakas, but one often wonders why Chazal didn't figure out the different terminology, because they're so different, right? So, for example, Nimtza kama mine chazakis. Katlonis yeshem shteipam yeshem shloishvam. This is one chazaka, is what we call cheskas shloishvam. Right? They are all familiar with. Right? How often does something have to occur in order for the Torah to say this is not a mikra, not a happenstance, but this is a pattern? So, what's the classic example of that in our learning? Sure. Right? What did you say? Is it? Was that? No, we'll come back in a moment. I mean, that's a bigger machlekes. But Pashtus Ashur Shanaga Sholish Bamim. Interestingly, the classic example for the Mimugonim was a Katlonis. Rachmana Litzlon, an Almona suffers being an Almona two or three times. So then the question comes up, if we can identify if it's a, there's no diagnosis. It's not a specific event. If a woman loses her husband in an unremarkable, or maybe overly remarkable, I should call it, in a non-described way. Right? Obviously, if she loses one husband because of cancer, rahmas, another husband because of a car accident, that doesn't mean anything. But if a husband drops dead once, twice, three times, at one point, the same thing's true for husband. Husband loses his wife also dramatically, or not dramatically. So the same thing is true. At some point, Chazal say, this is a dangerous situation. So at one point, she would not be, or he would not be allowed to be married. So Machlaik is two or three. So we paskin de Raisa, Sakana Sefosh is Chazal established by two. Machlaik is Rebbe and Shum Gamil, I think. And if it's a Drabonon, so then we go with three. Shorsha Nogach, the Terus Kevei with three. But the Torah was kaveya, a concept, that meaning chazaka in this context means when does something leave the realm of coincidental and become into the, not hashkafically, but practically, and come into the realm of pattern, predictable, chashash, we got to worry about this. That's two or three times. Next chazaka, those who learned chulun 2 years ago, so the next chazaka is chazaka meikira. Ve'eshes ish ukedem. What's a chazaka meyikra? Nega ve'eshes ish. What's chazaka meyikra?
The last thing we knew was a certain thing, so that's what we assume.
A leidas asofik that comes from a stable situation, right? So, for example, we have a sofik whether this woman's get is a good get. So we have a sofek. Now what's the chazaka? She's muchzekes as an ishadish. So until we prove that the get was a good get, we don't know if the husband was bidato. I was looking to a shayla recently that what happens if this wasn't the case, it was relevant for the case, if the husband was drunk when he gave the get. So how drunk is drunk? So there's a So the post, there's a suffix. If he's, if a person is as drunk as Lloyd was, so then that's, he's no das. If a person is drunk, that he wouldn't, that he makes some bad decisions, no, that would be a valid get. But he's in between. He wouldn't, or if he does things he doesn't do otherwise, a suffix. So then, if, and a guy gives a get under that situation, a suffix get. So we paskin suffix. She's an eishes ish chazaka meikra. Or in the case of a neg. A neg is a case in Chumash. Right? The raya, how do we know that such a thing is a chazaka mikra? How do we know that we say when we have a suffix, you go back to the last, the most recent situation where we had vados? We know that from nega, because the kohen leaves the house, and he closes the door, and he says that this house is a neg, is a cholot, is mukhlot. What do you, how do you know? 2 seconds ago, there was a big nega. But maybe it's shrunk by the time you close the door. But from the fact that the halacha is, you close the door and say, this nega, this, it could be a nanocentimeter, is that correct? It could be a kiklipas hashum, more than a gris. And maybe it's a little bit smaller. Halacha the Torah says no. So we know there's a din of chazaka mikveh. A woman goes to mikveh, and the last time the mikveh was measured, it was 40 saw. But then 10 minutes later, the mikveh is measured, and it's not 40 saw. We say no, she is muchzekes, and the two chazaka. She's a chazaka being a tamei. But on the other hand, the mikveh is a mikveh that's muchzekes at its kosher. The Baal Kaira sees comes to a. He's laning this upcoming week. He's laning last week vayishlach et mincha, and the shin of the word vayishlach is rubbed out, and it's possible. So do we say bring them all back? Let's lane vayetze again, 146 psukim again. And we say no. This morning he had a chazaka that served as a good sefer. So that's chezka chazaka miikra from dega. All right. Then the Prima Gadim says there is a third kind of chazaka, chazaka dehashta. What's a chazaka dehashta? Not yet. No, I don't think so. Chazaka dehashta is a chazaka meikra going backwards, right? Chazaka dehashta is in principle the same thing as a chazaka meikra. But it's that the mikveh is kosher now. We don't know if the mikveh was kosher 10 minutes ago. Is that shayach? There was a woman goes to mikveh, and then we measure the mikveh, and then we look at the reports, and we see that the last time the mikveh was measured, it was below 40 saw. She goes to mikveh, measured, and now it is 40 saw. But yet, she goes to she went to mikveh on Monday. Last Wednesday, the mikveh is measured every Wednesday, and let's say, and it's filled up sometime. We don't know exactly when. It's filled up sometime in between. Wednesday it was measured below 40 saw. This Wednesday, above 40 saw. She went to mikveh Tuesday. We don't know. Is the mikveh filled on Sunday, Monday, or Wednesday morning? So if a chazaka dehashta, right now the mikveh is full, so we can assume that. So that's a question when the chazaka meikra goes against the chazaka dehashta. What's that sugya in the beginning of Masechtas Nida? So the concept l'chayra of a chazaka meikra. And chazaka d'ashta would be very, very similar conceptually. Then there's shloishim yoim huchzaka. What's that? What's shloishim huchzaka?
If something was stricken away for 30 days, then
we can assume it continues. Correct. Something was in. So we know that. Where do we apply a chazaka of shloishim yoim? It's going to be coming up soon again. Then. Exactly right. If a person after the beginning of December, and we're supposed to say b'sein talum mata livracha, then a person doesn't remember what he said. So, at what point do we say He probably didn't say it. He probably said the same bracha. You're murgal. When does regilus change? We know a person has a certain regilus, a certain habit. When do we say that the habit changes? You need 30 days of rehabituation. And then the Torah says that's when we can assume a person accepts a new routine. And that's when there's a discussion amongst the poskim. If a person on the Maariv of December, whatever, says 90 times, saying Talu Motel Levracha, does that work? Do we say that he rehabituated himself? Or he's done nothing, because to say 90 times as you're walking up and down the flights of Gluck is not the same thing as being in Shemon Esrei. So how do you know that it'll carry over? Good. But it's an entirely different Chazakah than Chazakah Mechazakah Hashta. That is rerouting, a rehabituating something. It's an interesting discussion with the Shloshim Yom Chag, but that's what is that based on exactly? But we do see that Shloshim Yom, even the in Rachmanos on the Avelus of Shloshim Yom, it means that a person, there are things that happen to a person when he's immersed in something for 30 days. There are things that happen to a person by being immersed for a week, and 30 days is the Yud Beis Chodesh that the Rambam describes it. So now, next Chazaka, Ish V'Isha Dorin, Alright? You have a man and a woman are living together. They are muchzak as being married. Right? Flashback to a long time ago. Right? But Sashala, this still applies nowadays. So the for example, we would have a similar situation. Probably a similar situation is, how do we determine that somebody is Jewish? So, if they conduct themselves as being Jewish, they are muchzak as being Jewish. Every time a person makes aliyah, so the rabbi of the shul has to write a letter that we know they're Jewish. So, first time I did that, I said, I don't know they're Jewish. How do I know they're Jewish? I've known them for 20 years and they seem to be Jewish. But I can't say I know, I can't say l'ados. So So halachas have to be muchzak as being Jewish. That's halacha. Nobody can say, no Adam can say, I can Adam, unless you're mamish there by the birth, and then you were there by the mother's birth. Grandmother, how can you have vados? But you don't require, but do you require that they're muchzak? Garen
probably have.
Maybe Garen, the best, right? The best chazaka, yeah? So that's a good point. So next time somebody inquires about a Shidduch for a ger, say what are you inquiring? I know, but his vada is Jew. they rejected my letter because the Misrad Pnim said you have to say you know he's Jewish. So I can't fight with Misrad Pnim. You know, that's not going to happen. So I won't get my balabat and make aliyah. So I have to write the nusach that I know they're Jewish, but then I write in Hebrew. There were dayanim there. That the muchzak is being Jewish, because that's the only thing that makes sense. What if it's mean the muchzak is being Jewish? They're known to be Jewish. They have that identity. Based on what? How would you identify that? That's the Gemara said. There's a din of Yakir. A person, I am muchzak to be my parents' child. They grew up in their home, right? I'm muchzak to, and we're muchzak to be Jewish because we are a running assumption. That's the way that the nemonos of muchzakos is embedded in all of halach. It's an assumption. If you wouldn't have this muchzakos, then many halachas wouldn't be functionable. So ish v'ish darin heneri yechrebir. You have to, a couple comes. So we don't ask them before you do apply for membership in Orthodox shul. We don't ask them. Let me look at the ksuva. Who is the rav? Who is Masada Kedusha? We don't do that. Right? And the same thing is true when a Masada Kedusha takes a chrayas and marries off a couple. So we rely on the chazaka. What chazaka are you relying on? But their muchzak, that's a concept of being a running communal assumption. The different kind of chazaka. And then the Nevi'im Gadim says, now we have our chazaka. Chazaka number 6. Chazaka ein odem chois, ein edem chois, men ein pereya soich, ein Poireyach soich zemanoi chazok in chomer moitzi mitachas yodei dover she'enoi mesukan. So here the Prima Gadamik tells us what Shai was saying. Chazaka machmas rubahu. Where is this chazaka coming from? What kind of chazaka is this? A chazaka that ein chaver, if I'm sitting by a chaver, if I have a chaver's, I go into a chaver's home, he's not there. So I can't ask him, did you take trumas and maisers? A chaver, I have an Airbnb. All I know is that the guy's a chaver. When I did my filter, and there may be, I want a chaver. Okay? So I walk into the chaver's home. So now he says, eat as much as you want. Anything, what can I do? I know he's from, but do I know? I see that he has trumas and rice. He has fruit there, and there it's Israel. Do I know he took trumas and rice or not? I know that everything there is kosher, but do I know that he took trumas and rice? Well, they don't know we're here. So that we have a chazaka, and chaver moisi tachas yodei davishen masuka, and a chaver wouldn't do that. He has fruit in his home. He took trumas and maisers. What's that chazaka? It's not a chazaka miyikra. Chazaka miyikra is for carrot. It was tevel. It's not a chazaka dash. We don't know. It's not a chazaka of sholish pa'amim. Not sholish of yoyim. So here, the Prima Gadam says, it's really a roi. It's called a ruba de lesser kamon. What's a ruba de lesser kamon? Meaning what?
It's not in front of us, actually. I can't, but it's
The ruba de isa kamon is where the entire pool is in front of you. Ruba de lesa kamon means the entire pool is not, you don't have access to the entire pool. Ruba de isa kamon is you have 10 stores, so the entire pool is there. But ruba de lesa kamon means you have no access to every single person as a halva. You can take a representational poll of people who borrow money, but you're not going to be able to get the entire pool, the entire database of all people who borrow money. The Ruben the Lesser come on. So the Prima Gadam says that's what this chazaka is. This is not the chazaka of Nega, not Ishish, not Shoshabam, not the. And then the seventh, in my mind, Lanias Daiti is very much like the fifth. No. It's a little bit different. I'll say why. Chazaka, if a woman is wearing the begodim that indicate that she is a nida, we don't do this nowadays, if a woman is wearing a sheitel, a chazaka that she's married, right? A guy is wearing a talis, a chazaka that either a yeka, a teimani, or he's married, one of three. Okay. So a chazaka that there's a certain practice that I'm doing, and that practice puts me into a running assumption. So the Prima Gadam counts seven chazakas, maybe compare it down a little bit, but the point is that these are, that each chazaka, each time Chazal used the word chazaka, and each chazaka is a different idea. Now, coming back to ours is the most intriguing, because ours is where Chazal have a different term. They could have said, we go bosa roiv. Roiv, lovin, don't pay back or do pay back. But that also now helps us understand, or helps us identify or formulate exactly what our, how to formulate our sugya. What are we looking at? This coming back to Avram's point before. The Chezka Sholei Shonim is machlekes, exactly what is the basis of that. Chezka Sholei Shonim means that if I no longer have my shtoros to prove that I bought this piece of land, then I'm squatting in a piece of land. Well, no, that's the machlokes. I'm living in a piece. I claim I'm living here legally, and the guy who most recently owned it with proof of ownership says I'm squatting. I claim he sold it to me, and he said this guy is dreaming. I never sold it to him. No, so why didn't you kick me out? Why did you wait 3 years? But why did you have your star? Everybody holds on to a piece of land. Who doesn't hold on to the shores for 3 years? So the Gemara says, this is where there's a machlokes rishonim and achronim. This is the running chakira in Chezka Sholei Shonim. Exactly what's the base of the chazaka? Is 3 years the amount of time where I can know where the fact that I don't have my documents does not raise a suspicion? It's not a reus in my taina. Or is 3 years the amount of time that if an owner doesn't throw out the squatter, that's a reyusa in his time? So the cheska shalishonim is Chazal establishing when is the tevia, the taina of each side, when do they lose some measure of credibility? Okay? So that's the panorama. So now, zeroing in on our sugya. So our sugya is going to discuss Machlekes, Resh Lakish, and Rava, and Abaye and Rava. I'll give you 2 more minutes. The Machlekes, Abaye, Rava, and Resh Lakish. What's the Machlekes? So is he Neman? Right? Reuven comes to me and says, remember you borrowed $1,000 from me? And now it's due on the Erev Chanukah. I have to buy gifts for my kids. So Erev Chanukah, I want the money back. So now we're holding Erev Chanukah. Right? So Erev Chanukah in the morning, and he makes a tevia, and I say, no, I don't owe anything. So then I get a hazmana from the Beis Din Erev Chanukah. They work fast, and I go into Beis Din, and the Beis Din says, what's going on? So Reuven says that I owe him $1,000. So they turn and say, what's the deal? What do you say? So I have a list. I have a menu, right? I could say, I don't know who this guy is. L'hayu d'var me'erlum. Right? I could say, I never borrowed $1,000 from anybody. Right? That's a kofar call. I could say, I borrowed $1,000 to pay back $500. But it makes us. Right? I could say to him that I borrowed and I paid back. Praticha. Right? Or I could say, don't you remember you were Meichel? Or I could say, of course I'm Meichel, but don't you remember you hit my car? And Pilei Piloim, it worked out that the damage in my car was $1,000. It was a wash. So there are many different scenarios in Chazal. So here Chazal say, what's the case when I say Praticha? So they say to me, basically, when did you pay back? So Praticha Sarech Mani, I'm such a tzaddik, and I said, I'm going to leave the last day of Chanukah, and you have to pay money for the gifts for your kids. I gave it back to you on Tesvav Kislev. So the Gemara says, does he have that Luyat? So he would have said that I paid you back on Luyat Suyer. He would have said, let's do the following. Let's say the loan was due on Chof Kislev, right? And I claim, now it's Erev Chanukah, and I claim that I paid you back on Chof Beis Kislev. So what's the din then? What's the din of I say Praticha? No? Praticha liyachas man, what's the din? I paid back the loan was due Chav Kislev. We're now holding on Chav Dalin Kislev, and I say I paid back on Chav Beis Kislev. What's the din? Right, Elijah.
Does the Gemara give an answer, or does they leave it open?
What's the running assumption? Neman. Right. Otherwise, we would be discussing Sos Man. Right. Neman. Right. Why is he Neman?
He could have said he paid
Bismana. He is saying he paid Bismana. He's claiming I paid Bismana.
Well, he says he paid Akhazmana.
Okay, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. I paid after it was due. Bismana and Akhazmana are the same thing. Sorry, okay. Akhazmana and Bismana are the same thing. Okay, so now what's the din? Why is he Naman?
He could have said that there wasn't even didn't borrow anything.
So he's talking
right. He always Neman, right? So Ari is saying he's Neman because of a Migai, because he could have said I never borrowed. Why else is he Neman? Which Chazaka?
That people pay at the last second or later. They don't pay
People are paying back their loan when they do. Maybe, okay, could be a chazaka. What else? Also, the avoid some chavala raya. You have a good taina without a proof. I gave you back a good taina without a proof. We even, okay. Now bring that's your move. Bring an eidah, bring a shtar. Right. So the money's not going anyplace until you. I responded. I met your challenge with a response of equal significance. Good, so we're good. However, the Gemara says, if I said, what do you mean? Me, I paid you back. I'm such a big tzaddik. I paid you back on Yud Tes Kislev. It was Duchav Kislev. Before I went to the Ferbrengen, I said, how can I go to Ferbrengen and have a choyv out? Right? It's a dangerous thing. So I would... So I'm going to pay back on Yud Ches Kislev. All right? Yud Ches Kislev. So, Gemara says, this guy is suspicious. Why is he paying back on Yud Ches Kislev? That really raises suspicion. But why? So the Gemara says he's paying that. So Toich Zemanai, Machloikis. So why does he lose the Ne'amonos now? So Gemara says, Rish Lakish says, because this sounds very suspicious. A guy claims, right, people do not pay back before it's mine, before it's due. So what if Rav don't pay back? What has Rav got to do with Mamonis? We don't know. What's Rish Lakish saying? Well, why do I lose my credibility? Because I said I'm the fish out of water. I'm the guy who's different. So Rish Lakish says, I just lost my name. And when Rav and Abaye respond, and they say, no. What do they respond? Ovid inish to par begoy zibne. It happens. Right? Why does it happen? Abaye don't stump say, it happens. They say, no. Is that?
They're rather pay back now, so when later things get,
So they say two things, right? Well, the first thing they say is, no. Sometimes guys run into money. It happens, right? It happens. You find money, you run into money. And if you run into money, so why leave at last minute? Okay. So when Rav and Abaye respond to Rish Lakish, what is their response? Rish Lakish says people don't pay besides months. What do they answer? No. Sometimes they do. Okay. So how do you? So you have a machlokes of you. Rish Lakish says people don't, and the Bani Rava say sometimes they do. Are they arguing in the Metzias? I mean, is Rish Lakish saying no one ever pays back? No?
No, just saying statistically it's less likely for people to pay back to
son. And the language of Rava and Abaye, Zim, then sometimes a guy runs the money. So what are they saying? Is the Bani Rava saying Roy, people run into money and want to pay early? Elijah, what do you say?
Seems to be that the machlokes here is that Rish Lakish believes that Rav establishes chazaka, while Abaye and Rav wouldn't believe that a Rav could establish anything without actually believing.
Okay, so because you are correctly hesitant from saying there's a machlokes in Metzias, because do your study, take a poll. You give a clap and shul and find out how many guys borrowed money.
Well, specifically also because of Abaye and Rav say Zimnin, and sometimes that's definitely not implying Rav for their
right, story. But then you went to an extreme by saying that they're even arguing about whether a Rav even is relevant over here, but that's not what Rav and Abaye say. They say sometimes. No, what do you say, Benji?
Say how much Rav is Rav? Is it a literal majority, or is it a massive majority?
Okay, so one possibility is that everybody agrees on the statistics, but there's a machlokes as to, we know the background that Benji's Ha'ara is, we know there are different levels of Rav, right? We know that sometimes you have to be choshesh for a miut hamotzoi, right? We know that if the Rav is like a 90, make it easy, 97% Rav, you don't have any shayla. That's as good as it gets, right? You're almost by Vadot. If the Rav is a 75% Rav, so then Chazal say, check things out, right? We know that from the lungs. The lungs. Why the lungs? There are 18 trefas. We only check one trefa. Right? When something's glad kosher, what do you mean when it's glad kosher?
There's like mucus covering the lung walls.
Right. Glad kosher means that, well, that's the base. Glad kosher is supposed to mean that glad. What does glad mean?
Smooth.
Right? So glad kosher means that there are no shilas. Right? That you looked inside the lungs, no shilas. Sometimes you look inside the lungs and you see that there's scar tissue. Then you have to find out if the scar tissue is fully healed or not. If it hasn't fully healed, so then the animal's a treifa. If it did fully heal, then it's kosher. All right. So glad kosher means that they took this animal and there wasn't even a shayla. It was, the lungs were smooth. Now, when it comes to the other 17 treifas, we go basaroi. If the animal came into the sheet house and it was all four legs, healthy, walking, right? And then as we say, mukhsuk is being a kosher animal. The one treifa that we check for is the lungs, right? And if we find a sircha, then it'll go to the side that is kosher, not glad kosher. Right? They check it out, they see if there's a sircha, but once there's a sircha, so then the svardim chuck it right away, and the Ashkenazim say, they figure out if it's fully healed, so then it's called kosher. Not fully healed, then it's called treif. And the glat is supposed to be not like Beit Yosef, probably very, it might be a little bit different. Beit Yosef is probably stricter in what they call smooth. Then Beit Yosef has other coolers, but they're very strict in what they call smooth. And glat means that there wasn't even a shayla. Beit Yosef means there wasn't even a shayla by Sardom, isn't it? But now, why are we checking the lungs? Why are the lungs any different than a punctured stomach? So the Gemara says, because lungs is a shvach haroi. Lungs, there's a mir hamotzi that have holes in the lungs. When it comes to any other treifa, then it's through the roof roof. When it comes to lungs, it's a mir hamotzi. What's a mir hamotzi? Mir hamotzi is a machlaikas. It's 10%, 15%. So once you have a mir hamotzi, then there's a chiyuv to be mevarer. Less than the mir hamotzi, then there is a din derabbanan that if you can be mevarer without a tircha, you should be mevarer. Right? That's the question. That's the shatna suit question. You have a person says the seller tells you, a firm person says, never had any shatnas, or they said we don't use linen in America anymore, something like that. So you still have to check it out. So then he's saying there's a rove. And we all know there's a rove because we've all brought our suits to the shatnas checker and we've never found shatnas, but we still do it. So why do we still do it? Why do we say at some point we have a rove? Because Chazal Misaka and the B'nai of a rove, we should still be Mavar the rove. Right? How do you know that? Remember where that's from? Which suya? Was that? It could be. I don't remember from that. It could be. From the beginning of Pesachim. That's what we learned. You go bus a roi because. But we were the maski, right? Maski and
Sarah. We know that the house is Cheskas Bada because we're
right.
People to Bediva.
But right. So, and exactly. That's the suya we learned in. Even when you go bus a roi, you're supposed to be Mavara. So now we know that. So Benji's comment is based on that there are different kinds of rope. There are even more different kinds of rows, but that clearly see that there are gradations, and a row is not what's the word? When it's off and on? No, it's the English word. It's off and on or not off and on. So it's not an off and on thing. It's not a black. It's a
binary.
All right, so it's not a binary thing. It's the gradations of different kinds of rows. So Benji's saying the machleg is being Reish Lakish and Rava. It's hold on just a minute. Machlekes between Rava and Bain one hand and Rishlokish on the other hand is where it does. They both agree that Rav people don't pay back loans early, right? They both agree on that. They both agree that Rav people do pay back loans when they're due, right? However, apparently, Rav and Abai said, but sometimes it happens. And Rish Lakish also something that happens. Right? So what are they arguing about? So apparently they're arguing about, they both have a similar evaluation of the statistics. and it's somewhere in the zone of a weaker rov, right? In other words, whereas Reish Lakish would say that, and just signing numbers, Reish Lakish would say that 65% of all people do not pay back their loans before, so Rav and Abaye would say 55%. And they're arguing about whether that difference makes a difference. That's what it sounds like from the sugya. Okay, so now our sugya is looking at this machlekes Rav and Abaye and Reish Lakish. All right, how we understand the din of Rav in the sugya of, again, how we understand the kol chazaka Rav of ein onan perbei b'seich zmanei. All right, we still have to come back and figure out exactly what they're arguing on. That's what the Tzais discussed. We'll come back to that. The machleik is about whether a person is nemonos if he says praiticha b'seich zmanei. Okay, now what are we doing with this in the middle of the first paragraph of Basra? Why is this our sugya all of a sudden? How does the Gemara pass it? What's the Hilchasa? Reish Lakish, which is? Einon and Perveya. And what's the one major nafina the Gemara quotes for Einon and Perveya Zatzmanoi? By Yisoyim. What's it by Yisoyim? That normally, and in this case, if the Malveh dies, say Zatzmanoi, then the Malveh can collect from the Yisoyim without a shuah because he has this right that the father may die. Okay, good. So now there are two other parts of the sugya. What's it doing in our sugya?
I was going to just ask, also, Bani Rav attached to their point, gave the Lovatradam.
Right.
So, like, how much does that factor in? Is that like.
Right, now the Rav and Abaye have a double svara. Sometimes a guy runs into money, and people will not want to leave things the last minute. So they have to figure out what exactly, why they come with two different svaras, are they cumulative points, why do they say two separate things, right? And that will be important when you want to compare it to?
Chorus.
What's that?
Chorus.
Chorus, between a ben and?
And
steers. All right, that's where those svaras are very important, because if you want to evaluate the significance of those tinyas and whether they're just going to set up a different statistical rhyme, you have to figure that out. Good. What's it doing in the first paragraph of Abbasram? Why are we taking time out of Ezekriya and Shechinim and Chazak and Karkois to discuss Halvois? It's not our sugya. Halvois belongs where?
Mitzia.
So let me see, probably. Yeah. No? So why all of a sudden? Glenn?
Once we've discussed the parameters by which we're required to put the wall, and we have to discuss, okay, can we assume that the person actually contributed it or not? So how is that going?
So the more guy, Brian? Right. So in other words, once the Gemara discusses a chazaka of whether can we assume that the neighbor who comes to Bezin and says, I paid. So the Gemara says that we have a din, that if it was a clear-cut din, we assume he did pay. Non-clear-cut din, we assume he didn't pay. So now the Gemara says, well, we now have an assumption. What does our Mishnah do? How can our Mishnah help us paskin be machriya between Reish Lakish and Rav and Abaye? Right? Now they have, Rav and Abaye have this shas-wide, worldwide situation of halvois, which applies to every single halvah, and every time there's a sichsuch as to whether the guy paid back or not, we will always have Rav and Abaye. And Reish Lakish just said, did the guy pack? The guy, do we believe the guy said he paid back already? So now the Gemara says, maybe we should be able to bring a riot to how to pass him from our Mishnah. Maybe the Machlekes HaMeirom is Mukh from the Tanakh. How's the Mukh from the Tanakh? Because over here we have a situation where we have another Roivin Chazaka. What's our Roivin Chazaka? If a guy says he paid back, he paid his contribution to the wall, Nehemon. Well, was it B'Soich Zman or Liach Zman? So maybe, since our Gemara does not make a distinction of this claim, B'Soich or Liach Zman, so maybe this means, doesn't matter. And this is now, we have a Tanos Machriya, like Rav and Abaye. the Gemara says, not a good raya. Why? No? Was that? Because Tayyip Zaman is different when it comes to building walls. Got it. Then the Gemara goes on to say, the Gemara is the kasha from both studim. The Gemara answers that and the second side is not a raya because the guy thinks he'll get away with it. No pay, not a raya. But then the Gemara has one more part of the sugya of chazaka, ain't on a bereya. What's that? One more, another again. The sugya is a, it seems to be a sugya of whether onim preserves manner. We call up this old machlokes, and we have to put settlement in chazaka. Next, the Gemara says that can be paskin for our mission. The Gemara says no, we can't paskin. But since you're already holding the sugya, hilchasa, not for minute for your sugya. Good. Then the Gemara says, wait 1 second, maybe we do have an afkamina, maybe we can lose from our sugya set.
Migo.
What's the migo going to be?
Mali
Shaka. Well, how are we going to use this? How are we going to use the Mali Shaka over here? What's the question over here? Migo ibn Mokim. No. So what's the Migo ibn Mokim Chazaka? Chazaka is
when I say the sofa. When I say the sofa, I can say Mali Shaka, but I could have just said that I.
So now we're saying every single time a person claims that parati misoich, and we just paskin, now that we paskin, that a person has no ne'amonus besoich, so now does that, the lack of ne'amonus besoich, does that create a migoy for when he makes another taina, right? He says that, what taina can he make? He says he paid bismanoi. So he pays bismanoi. Does that mean that we'll have a mali l'shaker, mi or minon, tovin li achaz man, v'omolei feticha b'seich zmani? No. He said he paid back b'seich zmani. Do we say that migo he could have said? No. Okay, good. Yeah, that's good. Good, you're right. And Miga, in other words, he this is what Elijah was saying before. The Tviya is 10 days after it's due. So now he has a 10-day window where he could have said, I paid Liachar Zman. And instead he says, I paid Besoich Zman. So now he has a Chazaka, we're paskening a Chazaka that goes against him. Rish Lakish. He said, I did something which no one does. Bang. He has just shot himself in the foot. But he could have said, I paid in the last 10 days. So does the migoy, he has a chazaka that he didn't pay, and the migoy that he did pay. So the Gemara says, maybe our Mishnah can help us figure that one out. And there was no, doesn't. So Achrei Kechleis HaKol, our sugya is going to, we're going to have to understand the machlekes Roman Abaye Rish Lakish about whether we a chazaka, whether a roiv gives a person them onus. We have an eisen akashin from the achronim, and that is ein holchin b'mamoin achar haroiv. So why are we even discussing this? What's the roiv got to do? We always say sofek mamoin lahokel hamoitzim of a raya. Right, so why do we need to have a roiv? The guy says praticha, but liachar zman, right? So the Gemara says, he has a roiv. What is a roiv? What does a roiv do for us? Why would we even think of giving them monos to a migoy? How does a migoy work? Migoy that he could have lied. No, so therefore, what are we really being samech on when we say migoy that he could have lied? Was that?
I'm telling the truth. That he's not lying stupidly.
Right. But no. He could have, if he was a liar, he would have been a better liar.
Yeah.
So in other words, since right people who lie say the best lie, right?
That's a question. Most people would sell
it. Yeah. 100%. Okay. So the mechanism of migoy is, how are you going to be moitzi mami with a migoy?
You can also say that there's an atahari problem with migoy as well.
Correct, okay, good.
And the as well.
Correct, okay, good. So we'll go for it. We'll go for it all. So the so the sugya is a sugya of chazaka ein other preishes mane. How do we pasken that way? All right, we pasken that way. So we still want to figure out what is a bay in Rava's formula a little bit better. Why they're arguing? Number two, we should figure out why chazaka ein other preishes mane. So that means, why do we even need to say chazaka? Why don't we just say al-maytimech v'raya? What's an if chazaka adam pereya, like liachez manay? So then, why are we moitzi mamen based on a roiv? In halacha mamen achar a roiv. So once we understand that this chazaka is a chazaka of human behavior, it's a chazaka of roiv, what does that do for us in dini mamenus? Next, we have to understand the issue of whether we say chazok, amigo v'mokim chazok. How would you formulate that issue? Do we say amigo? Why do we believe a guy with amigo anyway? To be maximum. But even before we get to that sugya, let's not skip over, let's spend another 2 minutes to understand what is happening in our Mishnah. And before we go off into Tain Venditan and Hilchos Avos, what's going on in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is what is being formed in our Mishnah. Now, in our Mishnah we have a din. The din is that a wall fell and they want to rebuild the wall, and Reuven rebuilds the wall and then bring Shimon to court, and Shimon says, I paid. Right? So the Gemara says, well, on the first Alad Amos you're Neman, on the balance you're not Neman. What is this Neman is based on? Our Gemara wants to understand that since this Neman was not sensitive to Teichen Aliachar's man, so therefore we should be able to bring a Raya from the Sugya as to what we'll say the Gabbatan Hazman. But before we even get to the Sugya, what is the din of our Mishnah? How would you formulate that din? Again, the sugya is because our particular Mishnah was not sensitive to the sugya. Is it machriya the sugya? And the Gemara says no. It was sensitive to the sugya of because shaf v'shaf zman, because the person said mi yemid mechayv l'rabbana. Our Gemara wants to know whether our Mishnah, since it was not sensitive to migoy, so is it achra on miga b'makom chazaka? And the Gemara says no, it wasn't sensitive because of kol shama v'shama because of yema. But what's the sugya? You know, why did when our Mishnah said we got to tell you the din of what happens if the guy makes a taina, I paid. Why is our Mishnah telling us that? Why is the Mishnah leaving that for taina v'nitan? It's got nothing to do with Hezekiah. It's a separate issue. We don't go through all the different halachas of wall building. No? So what's the din that our mission is telling us? How would you formulate the ne'emonos that our mission is recording? Hey, Yois, the mission is not recording the ne'emonos of the Sechel Yachazman. So what is the ne'emonos of the Mishnah? No? No, no, no. Rashi spells it out. What was your question before? Still remember? Yeah, go ahead.
I just was wondering if Rebbe had, maybe I missed it, specified the difference between 5 and 7.
7 is because you have a simon. 7 is the big muktavai a simon. Good.
The Rabban made me do it. Therefore, I'm going to be an animal.
Our mission establishes. Right, so Ephraim said it in terms of the rabbis made me do it, right? So, having a chiyuv derabbanan, does that become, if we have a chazak that all people do chiyuv derabbanan, who would want to, is that what Rashi says, precisely as Elijah?
I was thinking maybe it could be, like, before now we were always talking about the intrinsic shetzpes between two people, and now it's like, accepting upon yourself extra such as like you're a guy that you did to the Mishnah. So that's like
okay.
Not
a bit of Aaron. I think Rashi says it. Maybe you'll find it. Have you shown him that, Simon?
Rashi says it's Galui.
Right?
Mishnah
said
the full Galui.
Because no guy would build the wall on his own.
So now we have a very fascinating svar. The Gemara says that if I come in with a taina saying this, I built the wall on my own, expecting this guy to pay me when I finish. Well, the Gemara says, sorry, but no one does that. You have your taina is weak from the very beginning, from the get go. No one does a unilateral movement in a shut. Not no one. The Roiv don't do it, right? And the second din is when it's above 4 amos. By the way, we're going to finish now. But the lotion that Simon and Shai focus on is correct. Goli lakol. And the second din is a din that not goli lakol. So again, so tomorrow, first thing the basic matter is trying to formulate. What's the ne'amonos? What is taka the contribution of the sugya? Before we go on to discussing the fact that the sugya was not sensitive to another sugya, what is the chiddush of the sugya when it comes to ne'amonos? How would you form it? How would you be magdir it? Okay, good. If you want to look it up, the prima garden was psicha keleles hey. Yud Gimel.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Okay.
Yeah,
very important to the Makor.
Ari and I worked out some sort of mahalat in which Tosfos can't say all that he says, and still we can understand why Abai and Rav Shita still applies.
Okay.
I think it's likely. It's complicated.
Okay, but you need the Tosfos and Makor for that.
Yes.
Okay, good. Ali
Shor.
Yeah, Ali Shor, yeah. We're going to Ali Shor in the parsha.
Okay,
good. We're sending
it to you.